Well, it's already July, time for our monthly visit with Dr. Ken on cotton this morning as we head into this cotton crop season that been filled with lots of different things, Ken, from rain to nothing to dust storms and everything else.
But pretty much, you know, if you want to see cotton in different stages and in different conditions, West Texas is the place for you, for sure.
Let's talk about this cotton crop, kind of managing the crop into the bloom stage. What are we looking at there?
Well, you know, you always hear the phrase, especially from other parts of the cotton belt, that, you know, you need this first bloom by July 4th. And I'm here to tell you the only blooms that we may see on July 4th are likely for some early emerging volunteer. So the planted cotton crop typically blooms in West Texas mid-July, sometimes even third week of July. So that's kind of right on schedule. But I will say much of the cotton is, oh gosh, at the short side, 3 to 5 days behind. On the long side, some of it's 10 to 14 days behind. But we've had moisture in general. Not every location has had moisture, but in general, the region has had more moisture than not. And we've had good growing conditions. Yes, we've had a few excessive temperatures, but they've been intermittently sprinkled with some more normal temperatures. So, you know, yes, we've had a warm June. In fact, I saw a report saying that at Lubbock, it was the warmest June on record. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was sure hot. I'll give it that. So we battled that. A lot of this crop in places had enough to emerge, and it's quickly running out of moisture, and there's a dry layer somewhere beneath in the profile. So we're facing that, and we're facing the need for continual rain, much like every year in West Texas. So, you know, now we see ourselves approaching bloom, and you have to ask yourself, okay, what should I be paying attention to at this point in the season? And mostly, you know, weed control is on the top of growers' minds, and it should be. But there, many of them are approaching either the first post application or even the second post application, which hopefully is the last one across the field for weed control. Now we turn our attention, because particularly in the southern area of your listening area, where there's a lot of dry land, growers have tended, and rightly so from a business perspective, to wait and see, do I have a crop and is it viable before investing in inputs like fertility? But now's the time. So on fertility, the best place to put your fertility, regardless of element, is in the soil. And the best time is earlier the better in general, and certainly no later than peak bloom. Now, you know, you hear a lot of talk about foliar fertilizers, and there are some good products out there. I see foliar fertilizers as sort of the icing on the cake. If you have really good water and you're pushing that crop to a 5-bale yield, there have been some data showing that perhaps that is icing on the cake and there's a return on investment. But the typical limited irrigation, dry land scenario, that may not be the best use of your fertilizer dollar. The best use is to put it in the soil and get a good rain or irrigate it in. So kind of keep that in mind. But, you know, as we approach bloom, and particularly some of these fields that have really good water and or some dry land or limited irrigation capacity fields that have gotten good rainfall, and we have had some of that. Now we approach the decision, do I need a plant growth regulator? And I always tell people, Todd, whenever the methylclot chloride, the common plant growth regulator that basically encourages the plant to redirect resources from vegetative to reproductive growth, when it was on patent and pricier, a lot of people didn't think that West Texas needed it. And now that it's generic and it's relatively cheap as far as chemicals go, I think now that they're putting a little shot of methylclot chloride every time they go across the field, while we have a lot of forgiveness on that, in other words, it's really hard to mess up unless you just get crazy rates. Is that a good investment of time and money? So that there are some easy things to do to decide, do I need that methacrylate chloride or not? So I have a kind of a one-pager on lubbock.tamu.edu called Target Rate Growth for PGR Applications. And it's kind of a step-by-step things to consider. One is, what kind of variety do you have? Is that variety known for aggressive growth, or is it one that's more compact? Huge, huge concern. Soil moisture. You know, if you have good irrigation, well, you can check that box. Yes, I have soil moisture. If you're on limited or dry land, well, you know, you may have to really assess that closely to figure out, because you don't want to put PGRs on the crop if you're approaching a drought period. So with that, look at the weather forecast. So we all know how that is a guessing game sometimes, but at least look at the forecast. Hey, is there a 0% chance for the next 7 days? Well, that tells you one thing. Or are there scattered chances in the next 7 days? That's another decision. Then know your field, right? Field history is so important on so many things we do in the cotton crop. You know, has this field ever produced a crop that is excessively tall? If not, you know, let's think carefully about putting PGRs on there. Fruit load, you know, have plant bugs moved in, flea hoppers? Are you retaining your squares? Because, you know, as has been said many times, the best growth regulator for cotton is a good boll load. And there is a lot of truth to that. In fact, that's why we put PGRs on cotton, is to increase that retention so that it limits the vegetative growth. Then, of course, you look at pest pressure. Make sure you're not in the middle of a plant bug infestation, that sort of thing. Then the one that I like the best are really two of them. If it's blooming, I want to know how many nose above white flower that crop is at. Because you should enter bloom at 7 to 9 nodes above that white flower. So you find that uppermost first position white flower on the plant, and count up to the terminal. That is a quarter-sized leaf that's unfurled. You should have 7 to 9 going in the early bloom. If you have more than that, you likely need some PGR. If you have less than that, that crop is not growing at the rate it should, and it may be because of drought or heat, right? But you know, you still assess that. But then if you want to know what that cotton crop is doing this week, you look at the fourth internode from the top. So you count down from the terminal leaf down to the fourth true leaf, and that internode between the fourth and fifth leaf from the terminal is a really good indicator of current growth rate. So you look at that internode length. A lot of people do it by lining up fingers. Then after a while, they kind of calibrate themselves. And I have a little chart on that one pager that, depending on what node stage you're at, tells you what is normal. Now, I've done a lot of measurements across West Texas, and it has been rare that the internode length was beyond what the normal should be. Most of it was indicating that the plant was growing slower than we like, or very slower than we like. So indicating that we likely don't need a PGR. Now, one of the myths or misunderstandings, rather, about PGRs like methacrylate chloride and cotton is a lot of people, especially in the northern panhandle, are using it to hasten maturity. And it does have that effect if you have a long season. In our short season environment, I've always described the maturity gain on cotton from using a good methacrylate chloride program to be measured in hours, not in days. So it does hasten maturity a little bit, but that effect is more pronounced in the longer growing season environments like South Georgia or Louisiana or South Texas, where you can see that difference in retention. Here, it's a very, very small effect. It's not nothing, so it does hasten maturity some. So just be realistic with how many days you think you can gain by using methacrylate. So just some things to consider as we go into bloom. Hopefully, we see this weather pattern continue where we're getting these scattered rain showers and hopefully some cooler temperatures so we're not just boiling everything out of the ground. And we actually need PGRs, so that would be a great day in West Texas.
Well, it's going to be hanging around 100 degrees today. You know how that is.
Yeah, and you know, we've had some of these 100-degree days across the region fairly early, you know, even in early June. Luckily, it was one here or there and not a whole string of them. One of the projects I'm getting started in my research program is looking at heat stress. And normally people think about heat stress in West Texas, and they got a big question mark because we cool down at night. Arizona has the premier heat stress model, as you can imagine. And so I've run that heat stress model on some of our weather stations across the high plains. And in years like 2024 and even 2025, there were a few locations where we were racking up what they call level one and level two heat stress. So we do experience heat stress. And in some cases in dry land fields, I think it's even worse because we don't have the cooling effect from irrigation like that model was built in Arizona and fully irrigated cotton. So that heat stress is one thing I'm looking at. You know, we rightly blame a lot of our stress and our yield potential declines associated with drought stress, and that's correct. But I do think there are some instances where combined effects of drought and heat are taking things beyond what drought would be responsible for. So that's my next big project that I'm looking at in my program.
So the cotton plant shuts down over 90 degrees, so be shutting down for a couple of days, it looks like.
Yeah, 95 degrees is a top temperature. I always tell people that cotton plants a lot like people. You know, can you work out there above 95 degrees? Yes. Are you happy? No. So, you know, the cotton plant is hunkering down when it gets above 95 degrees like we would if we were out there trying to work in 95 plus degree, 100 degree weather. So it can tolerate it very well, much better than things like corn, of course. But it doesn't mean good things are happening. It's just tolerating the bad circumstances.
So I looked at the national weather map a minute ago. South Dakota's under a flood warning right now. So let's push some of that water down here.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting looking at the pattern lately. It's always interesting that certain locales, when rain comes through, seems to keep on getting that rain. And we've always looked at Tahoka there in Linn County back in mid-May when those rains started. If it was going to rain, it seemed like it was going to rain in Tahoka. And if you look at the rainfall totals in Tahoka, which is predominantly a dryland cotton area, it is way above normal, but only like in a very small slither. So plus or minus 4 or 5 miles from Tahoka, man, that's a sweet spot. But if you're outside that zone, you didn't hardly get anything. It's very interesting looking at those weather patterns.
Last time we had any decent rain, 2.5 inches of rain on June 24th here.
Wow. Yeah. We have had some locations get really big rainfalls that are quite unusual, especially on the plains. When you get off the Cap, Wellington, and on to Wichita Falls and Vernon, they'll have those, you know, 3 or 4 inch rain days. That's not quite unusual, but here recently, I guess it was on the 1st of July, if memory serves me correctly, there were some locations south of Lubbock, like La Mesa, got a little over 3 inches in one 24-hour period. And I would have to go back in the records and look, but that is really, really unusual to get that big of a rain in that area. I bet it hadn't happened in a decade or so.
All right, Dr. Ken on cotton with us from Lubbock today. We're our monthly chat. We'll have to do it again when you get the guitar out or something, right?
Hey, that sounds like fun.
Give out your contact there, and we'll talk to you in August.
Yeah, my cell phone is 806-201-4775, and my email is ken.lege@ag.tamu.edu.